Okay, good morning everyone, and shalom. Welcome to the weekly conversation room with Maitreya. The weekly conversation with Maitreya will be open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, mission of Maitreya. Do not be combative and do not ask questions which are not related to religions. These gatherings are to have a direct conversation with Maitreya, and so we can learn this new teaching and realize how this indeed is from God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. We will conduct these sessions as we do our regular live sessions during the week. The differences are, we do not read Maitreya's teachings since Maitreya himself is here. And Maitreya is the person who will answer your questions in a conversational manner, not as a discourse as he did before. If you would like to lose previous disc lectures, fat songs, we have already have them running 24 hours a day in a room called Discourses by Maitreya, God's Words Continuously. If you like Maitreya to answer your question as a discourse, request it to be answered that way, not in a conventional manner. Number one, those who raise their hand will have priority and will be answered first. Number two, if there is no hand raised, the questions in text will be answered. And three, if no hand is raised and there are no questions in text, Maitreya will explain the eternal divine path and our teachings. We will have this session for 1.5 hours.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the conversation room for the mission of Maitreya. This is Maitreya, and I am here to have a conversation with you about the mission and what we are doing here, what we have been doing, and why this revelation is the last revelation from God, and His plan has finished indeed, and now is the time for humanity to come together and see the marvelous God and how He has sent all these religions to earth. We indeed have completed the revelation and the teachings and the religions for humankind, and this is the only religion that have been sent for every man, woman, child on earth, and now humanity can see clearly why their religion is a part of God and why this is the last revelation, because no other prophet or revealer ever revealed the seven seals, opened the book sealed with the seven seals, and therefore we have this great message for man to come together, know for sure that God exists in the first place, because He has said He will do all these things that He's been revealed to us. And now He clearly have revealed that He has been sending all this revelation and religion on earth, and now we are all unified under one God, one humanity, one earth, one Savior, one Spirit, and oneness. This is indeed a joyous period for humanity. We can clearly watch and observe that God's plan is unfolding as He promised it will, and humanity little by little will realize more and more that they have no choice but follow God's will and become one and become godly and bring His laws and His kingdom to earth, and that's the only way to peace, unity, and oneness for the whole mankind. And of course, God has created all the tools we need to reach humanity, to reach every corner of the earth, to give this message to every man and woman in such an easy way that no other prophet ever had this opportunity and ability to be sitting here in front of a monitor and talking to as many people as they like to hear this revelation and call them to action, to realization, to seeing the vision of God that has been sent to man. As it been said, if they said Christ is here, do not go. If Christ is in the desert, you don't have to travel there. You can be exactly where you are and hear this message with a couple of clicks, clicking on some links, going to our website and seeing the whole revelation of the seven seals and though the holiest of the holiest right there on your screen, and realizing that God indeed has been sending this revelation to man one by one, and seeing the truth of these wonderful revelation that have come to us. So you have really see the vision clearly, and then of course completely forgo of our past, what we belong to, and become a complete universalist and follow God's way instead of man's way or our culture or our belief or our own understanding, but understanding the God's understanding and His ways. If we do that, then we go to scriptures, and especially we go to the holiest and the holiest, and realize what God has been sending to humanity and how He works. Then of course we will have a great grip of the reality and truth in the universe, and we will not be confused and have unacceptable expectation, of a Messiah is going to come from the sky, Messiah is going to come this way, Messiah is going to go that way. So he's not supposed to get old, or so he's not going to eat or speak or this and that. And then we realize God's work is different. He chooses a man, a human, and he prophesies for him to come. And when he comes, of course, he brings the word of God to man. And now this one is clearly is the word of God, because it has all the backing of God. And now we can see this clearly and dedicate our lives to this as the first in our life. And recognize that God is always with us, and therefore the goal of our life is to become divine, and the way to that divinity is the eternal divine path, creation of the fullness of life. Meditation, sacrifice, surrender and submission, and become universalists. So simple. 5 steps in everyone's life. And that 5 steps, of course, have not been taken with many people. We have to create communities that will implement these 5 principles in their lives. So I've been giving this truth in this room and other rooms and other ways to humanity over and over, and we will do that for the rest of our natural life to humanity, and we'll continue repeating this truth, and we'll answer any question left if there is any, since we have been answering the question for last 24-25 years, and now of course it almost seems that all the questions are answered. There are huge information in the website that you can go and read and listen to. There are many tapes that you can listen right on the website, and or search for your questions, and if you couldn't find any answer for a question, come here and ask, and let us see what the answer will be. And of course, if you have a question here, you can raise your hand and have a conversation with me about what you like to talk about. And of course, We talked about everything from economy, from social setup, from many ways of human life, from the smallest to the greatest. God has already given how it should be done and how humanity can bring peace and unity by following His ways instead of following the man's way, or man's economical way, or the man's social way, or the man's, you know, religious way, dogmatic way. So all things have been given. And indeed, His civilization is perfected as God intended for humanity. So if we have a perfect religion for man to recognize, to realize, to meditate on, and eventually see the vision clearly and create the communities of light, teach the children and the man to sacrifice for it, to give up themselves, not to be self-centered and egoistical, to surrender and submit to the will of God for them, and then become universalists. Okay, there's a question. I'm a student of science and engineering, and my primary interest in it is to help poor people, needy people with technology, to make clean, pollution-free energy machines. What are your thoughts on this material? Thanks. Okay. Well, actually, if you study our teachings, there is a part of our teaching that talks about science based on a spirit, and this science is different than conventional science, which has pollution and byproducts. It is based on nature, and the use of the recycling and the way God does it in nature. If you study nature, you see God wastes nothing. He uses and recycles, and everything that is in on the earth are used in the highest level. Even dead body, even dirt, or the things that goes very bottom of the water are eaten with the scavengers which clean the water. And exactly, it all gets, yes, that's good. Yeah, that's exactly what how God works. Everything recycles, because everything in the universe can be converted to different kind of energy. And energy, of course, is the essence of the creation, and everything is created by energy or vibration. Therefore, by creating different vibration and energy, you can create different levels and different kind of the material in the universe. The reason, actually, for different level of creation is, any level of creation is in different level of vibration. Do you believe there are powerful economic forces like large corporation and government leaders who stress clean technology like this? Well, it's not like a conspiracy theory. I probably would say that it's because of their ignorance and greed that is the base of human nature. They really don't want to go beyond what they know works. And what they know works is, you know, oil and coal and the products which have pollution and byproducts. And they also, you know, want to make money, and they have invested billions of dollars in these technologies, and then a new technology comes. Of course, they do not understand it. It's just like a new religion comes, and the religion before it don't understand what this new religion is all about, so they oppose it even without even knowing about it. A lot of people come to our rooms and they oppose us before even knowing what do we really teach. So you can see they also have a suspicion, they're suspicious about new founding for new science. That is why the people who go for the way you want to do it, you're going to have a harder time. If you accept what they believe and become a regular scientist and work for them and purify oil and make pollution, of course you're going to have easier life because you are, you know, you are in the flow of the thing. Anytime you bring some new ideas or something that people do not know too much about, they will oppose. And the person who does bring such a thing, of course, have a harder time. On the spiritual realm, what are your thoughts on the being that Christians and Jews call Satan? Do you believe there is an actual individual person entity named Satan, Lucifer? Well, in general, our teaching is that humans have two nature, a higher nature and lower nature, and the lower nature is stimulated with our senses, our sense of touch, our sense of smell, our sense of sight, and all other senses we have. These pulls us to the external world, so we desire things, and when we desire, we are tempted. When we are tempted, of course, we do things which are not godly. And whatever is not godly, of course, is ungodly and is from lower nature and is not from God. Therefore, in general, there is this lower nature in every individual, which the devil in every man and a woman and child. And that is why people do the things they do. Of course, they are unclean spirits in the universe who have fallen from the grace, and they also, of course, tempt man and possess man, or they mislead man to different ways. Therefore, but if you are full of God and absolutely one with your spirit, those unclean spirit or any temptation from the senses will not pull you down to your lower nature. I see. What are you thoughts on the concept that Christians have, that Jesus Christ is the only way and he is God in the flesh, and all people who die in rejection of Jesus as God and the only Savior go to be punished in an eternal hell forever, and there is no second chance? Of course, that is a Christian belief, and but what is the truth of it? The truth of well, you have to wait until I answer one of your questions before you ask another question, so we can flow, you know, in a much smoother way. That is the concept of Christianity that has been actually enforced with Paul than Christ himself. Of course, Christ says, "I am the only way. No one goes to the Father but through me." So did Prophet Muhammad. So did Moses. So did Bab and Baha'u'llah. So do I. Therefore, there is no other way to go to God but to the Messiah or the Messenger or the Prophet of God that has come to this point, and everyone that came brought a message to humanity that was salvation for man in that time. Therefore, this is not a message only Christ gave to humanity, but every messenger or prophet of God who came to man said, "There is no other way. If you do not follow me, you will not make it, and you will be condemned, and you will go to hell, and you will burn forever." So we can see that this is something that humanity have to recognize, that all the religions of the world have come from the same source, and he doesn't change his mind. And when he sends his spirit to earth, he comes and tells them, this is what God wants, and that is the way to go, and that's how your salvation is. Therefore, if we understand that this is true with every messenger and prophet of God, Christ become one of us. And therefore, we understand the way of God. Because if you read our teaching, if you go to our website and understand that God already said, He's going to send seven religions, seven revelations, seven truths. How can He just stop in the third one and say, well, there's no one more who's going to come? It just doesn't make sense. So therefore, because God said there will be seven revelations and seven truths, no, none of these truths before the seventh revelation have the whole answer. They have a part of the answer, and also Christians, they have to realize they have to follow Christ, not Paul, and realize that Christ was one of the promised ones that God promised to the children of Israel or children of Isaac, and also God promised to the children of Ishmael, of Arabs, that a prophet will come from them. If they just realize that, they realize that Prophet Muhammad had to come also. If that is true, and God said there's going to be more than the third prophet, we can see that Christ cannot be the only way, as no other prophet after him will come. And God clearly states that no other prophet have the whole truth until this seventh truth come. The seven seats are open, and now it's open. If you read our teaching, you will have a great grip on the truth and reality, and you understand that Christ is a part of the plan, so is Muhammad, so is Bob, so is Moses, and all the prophets of God. Do you have any other question? Go ahead now. I'm done with this one. And, what do you believe happens when we die physically? Where does our eternal spirit go to dwell? Of course, our eternal spirit is one with God. You are always connected to God. There is no separation. There is no me and God. In reality, if you recognize your oneness with God in the body, you realize you are already one with God, actually yourself, or what you call is eternal spirit, is God itself. There is no separation. The only reason we separate ourselves and we think our eternal spirit is separated from God is our ego, which separates us from God and creates a feeling that I have a spirit different than God. Therefore, at the time of the death, if you have no ego, you right stay where you are. You go right to God and become one with Him. You are a part of Him already, and you become a part of Him again. And if you have an ego, of course, you have to leave your ego behind and go to a spirit. And in a, actually, death, you can say, is a permanent sleep, a deep, deep sleep. What happens when you sleep? When you sleep, you lose all consciousness, and you don't know where you go. And of course, if you have a lot of subconscious mind and ego, you have dreams, and you receive some messages maybe about your psychological problem in life, and you can solve some of them by psychoanalysis or understanding what these messages in your dreams are or what your dreams are talking about. In a higher level, if you don't have any ego or have a little ego or subconscious mind, you sleep very peacefully, you have very little dream or no dream at all. And you wake up next day very fresh, and you don't need as much sleep actually as, you know, most people, they say they need 7-8 hours a day, but you need around 3-5 hours at most. So, when you die, you really go to a deep, deep sleep, and when you come back, okay, we believe in reincarnation, Reincarnation is when the spirit that has not learned its lesson or has a mission to accomplish, that spirit will come back. And when you come back, at the moment of coming back to the body, you will pick up your ego again, the one you left behind, and you just, you know, continue the next lifetime. But of course, because you have been in the deep sleep and in the death, you have also purified and you see your lessons clearly, how you can, you know, progress in a greater degree. So when you come back, you will continue in the next lifetime to learn more lessons. As you learn more lessons, if you really are interested in spirituality, you progress a little bit, and every life you progress a little bit, and eventually you reach pure consciousness or Godhead. So then you die. If you are in higher consciousness, you go to God. If you are not higher consciousness, you return later. What are your thoughts on sin? Don't you think the incarnation would allow people to sin again and again? Each incarnation, you would pick up more sin. Well, sin is the regression, you know, it's doing something is not godly. So, if you come in an incarnation and you sin and you die and in a sleep, purified, and you are told what your mistakes was, and you come back and you sin again, and you are dead, and come back, you sin again and again and again. God says, hey, look, you're not learning your lessons. The whole idea of being incarnated and coming back to the body is to learn your lesson. If you study our teaching again, you will see that there was a chaos, as the Bible says. And there was darkness, and the spirit of God moved, and eventually the first begotten son goes through the only one path, and there was light, and the path to return to God is clearly shown. Therefore, if you follow the only one path, you will go through light, you will not sin, you will meditate, you will go through doing sin in your meditation, and you see by sinning, you create bad karma, and you will become heavier, and each lifetime, you will have more sin to pay. And so your situation gets worse and worse, and to a point, God says, look, you're not getting it. You're not listening. Are you the Messiah, the Savior? That is what you have to answer yourself. If I say I am, you might not believe it. And if I say I am not, I am lying. So it is up to every person, individual, to go to our website, see the teaching, see the words, see if the words are based on the Word of God, and if they are based on the Word of God, and the prophecies are fulfilled, the genealogy clearly says that I am from the tribe of Judah, and a Sayyid from the Prophet Muhammad, and the revelation is based on the Word of God, and opening of the seven seals, which can be done only with one person and one person alone. No other man or woman or child or any other being can open the seven seals but the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So This is what make me believe who I am. And now it is up to you to go study, look at the website, look at the revelation, look at the genealogy, look at the prophecies fulfilled, and eventually, does it make sense? Really, the final question is, does it make sense? If there is only one God, how can we have so many religions, how many separation and destructive forces on earth when there is only one God? And then, of course, you see, it makes sense. God has been sending all this religion. Have you ever met the spiritual beings like angels? And what are your thoughts on the existence of aliens? Extraterrestrial. All right, thanks for your... Okay, well, spiritual beings, of course, they are usually made by human mind. Some people need to see angels, so they create angels. Prophet Muhammad has to see, you know, Angel Gabriel in order to accept his mission. You know, but in general, universe is created by consciousness and three creative forces. And of course, in the ethereal level, if you are able to go to ethereal level, whatever you think, you can create. But ethereal level, ether is the basic element of creation. You can mold ether in whatever form you want and create, you know, air or fire or, you know, liquid and solid factors, and therefore you can create what we want. That's why in our teaching we teach whatever has a smell, has touch, has sight, or any other senses that we can use our senses to recognize it, it is not ultimate. It is not the essence. It is not the goal. So if you see the angel, it is still made of material things. It is not pure consciousness. Therefore, don't get attached to them. Go for the highest, which is pure consciousness, which is even beyond mind. It's beyond the creative forces in the universe. So angels can be created by man. Does the alien live out there in the universe? The probability of other life form out there is greater than now, not, because there are billions of stars are just in our galaxy. And there are hundreds and billions of galaxies all over the universe. Are they more advanced than us? Who knows? When we saw one, then we would know. But can they travel all over the universe? They can be scientifically reached. Human can reach a point that they can do that as well, but they are not there yet. They have to become one first before greater knowledge is released to them. I offer you a website, internet URL, material, and everyone here, I will post it and you can save it. And well, we really don't want anybody come here and preach their preaching or teachings here, because we already believe that we have the ultimate. And we actually want you to go to our website and come here and post your website. Of course, if you saw our website and, you know, our teaching, because this is the last revelation, the ultimate. No matter what you tell us, you know, it is a part of this revelation. Why don't you PM me, okay, or send email to website at maitreya.org and I will receive it. Just send my website at maitreya.org or website maitreya.org. Either way, it's going to come to us and I look at your website, and if it is something that is really good and is from God and everybody should see it, of course we will send to our members to check it out, because we are here open to all the possibility. And those who are working in the science space based on a spirit, of course we love them to come and join the mission and become scientists of the mission and work toward creation of the science based on a spirit which recycles things and does not create pollution and destructive forces. And we welcome them very, very much, but we are not going to follow any other ideas, because we believe every idea is a part of this revelation. God is compassion, I mean, and God is holy, okay, hello, okay, well, and therefore, you know, it's just, we don't believe that posting your website, you know, is a good idea, then everybody wants to post a lot of websites, and then that's all the text is going to become. And welcome to our room. This is the conversation room with Maitreya. And anybody who have any questions about our teachings, about anything related to the universe, God, religions, science, social order, economy, and anything that related to human life is permitted to be asked here, and hopefully eventually humans recognize and realize all these things should be based on God. Science should be based on God. Society should be based on God. You know, economy should be based on God. Okay. Hopefully in the comings of light, people will start helping one another and helping financially, physically, and mentally, and spiritually, so people will have enough to take care of physiological and safety needs, and little by little, they don't need to go and borrow from the people who charge them interest rate. And therefore, after a while, human life is going to become much easier and simpler, because interest rate is one of the destructive forces on the universe. And by humanity come together and help one another, we can eventually create an earth that human is much freer than being a slave without even they knowing themselves. They have to wake up early in the morning and run and go to work and work 8 hours to be able to make it. They don't have time to meditate. They don't have time to awaken their spiritual forces. What do people embrace atheism, actually? I mean, if someone examines nature, they see evidence of God's creating power. Well, because they really don't know their scriptures, they don't meditate, they don't recognize God in a deeper level. Also, some people become atheists because they have some carnal desires, and if they accept God, they cannot follow their carnal desires, and therefore they reject God, so they can do whatever they want. Because if they follow God, they cannot do sin, because what they want to really to do is sinful, and God and the scripture said thou shall not do it, and they say no, we want to do it, therefore if I reject God, I can go ahead and do whatever I want. And of course, as the societies usually become more prosperous, more freer from, you know, mundanity, and little by little, they no longer trust in God, they trust in themselves. And when they trust in themselves, you know, they put God out, because by putting God out, they feel they are free, and they can do whatever they want. And usually such a society, little by little, the godly people become minority and ungodly people can become majority. And actually, if you go and say somebody, you know, I'm godly, they look at you as one of those crazy people that they believe in God. But the truth is, you are right. If they meditate in nature, if they see the hand of God in every part of the universe and the wonderful creation, especially if they read our teaching and see how God said he's going to do this thing, he's going to send, you know, two prophets, one from children of Israel and one from children of Ishmael. He did say there's going to be seven seals, seven revelations, and he has done that. He said that the seven angels will come and reveal all this truth, and he has done that. If he has done all these things, therefore there is no doubt God exists. But atheists doesn't want to see it. Atheists want to believe God doesn't exist, therefore I can do that. Good question. It is impossible. Okay. So we can see that the people become atheists. Actually, in a sense, I was an agnostic myself. Because the other thing is, the reason people become atheists or agnostic is because religion don't have the answer. You know, I was born and raised in an Islamic, you know, environment, and but they just told me that God sitting there is angry all the time and all that. And after a while, I felt, well, forget it, you know, I'm not gonna follow something that doesn't make sense, and therefore I rejected religion until I received this revelation that made sense. What are your thoughts on homosexuality? Do you believe it is wrong and against God? Well, the very nature of sex, really, sex is a delivery system that the sperm are delivered to the eggs, so there has to be a child or children born, and therefore that is the that's another thing the human have to start thinking about and looking at the things that universe is created for. Why God created, you know, water, for example. Water is a very useful thing. It moisture our body, you know, 75% of our body is, you know, water, is moisture. You know, therefore we have to drink water, and the purpose of water is to wash things and all that. What's the purpose of fire? Purpose of fire to, you know, cook and make a steam and all that, and convert the different energy to different things. What's the purpose of sex? I know, you know, for lots of people, you know, they enjoy sex and they marry and, you know, and all that. But really, if you look at it, you know, from the scientific point of the view, it's just a delivery system, okay? It delivers the sperm to the egg and create children. And therefore, you know, we can see right there that everything else is not really the purpose of sex or thing. But we have had homosexual with us from the very beginning, you know, and so what should be done? The problem is that such a thing should not become a political power, political system. But, you know, we shouldn't go and knock everybody's door and see what they do in their bedrooms. It's between them and God. Have you much ever thought about getting married? I am married, actually. I've been married since I started the mission. Actually, I had to stay to this country to do this mission. So my wife is an American girl, and I have a child already 16 years old. And so, actually, if you study all the prophets of God, except, of course, what Christians say, Jesus wasn't married, but he really was. Actually, he had two wives, and it's the one. So all the prophets of God have been married. Or is that not in your past now? Just asking. Sure, that's no problem. Oh, congrats. Yeah, I have a wife, and I have a child, and I've been married for more than 25 years, and we have work together. Me and wife are a very good partner in getting this mission going. So, and of course, there are many other people who are helping the mission to spread, and people know about it. So, so in general, those things really shouldn't become that big a deal in a society at all. The bedroom of every person should be left to that person, and should not be something that become, you know, public knowledge. So if we do that, we can just keep that to ourselves and not to make such a big deal out of this small little thing, and concentrate in a greater thing, which is communism of life. Of course, communism of life is based on the two pure couple, a man and a woman, and their purity have to come from God, and they should stick together by the will of God and do His will, and therefore create a pure environment to have great children who grow in the community and become great people and godly, and therefore we can bring the kingdom of God on earth. And that is the vision, that is the truth, and that is the mission that we have chosen to bring to humanity. And if humanity realizes the nature of everything, they will not be having so much argument about many things that we are arguing now. The reason is we put God out. The moment you put God out, there is no limit how far we can go. There is no thou shall not in our life. Therefore, we will do everything that, you know, we were not supposed to. And therefore, we create destruction. You know, a lot of people think, you know, sex is just a relationship. It actually releases a very destructive energy if it's not based on the pure marriage and the purity. And when that energy is released, people are wondering what happened. You know, they have having so much fun, but what is this destructive force came after we failed and we did not stay in purity. Therefore, these things that humans really have to meditate on, that's why what in the Comings of Light do. In Comings of Light, people meditate. They awaken the spiritual process. They understand the nature of things. You have to see what is the Dharma, what's the Dharma of this speaker, for example. The Dharma of this speaker is when you talk, I can hear you. And if the Dharma of this speaker, or innate nature of this speaker is not manifested, it's no good. You know, we probably use it for the doorstop or something. It no longer is a speaker. So what is the nature of marriage? What is the nature of children? What's the nature of parents? What's the nature of a spiritual teacher? What's the nature of God? You know, what's the nature of life? Why are we here? You know, if we ask that, then we realize the goal of the life is to become divine. How you become divine? By following the eternal divine path. By awakening the spiritual forces. By creation of the communities of light. By sacrificing, by surrender and submission to God, and become universalist. Then you become divine. That's the goal of life. That's the nature of being here. Therefore, if you understand the nature of things in the universe and realizing that God is everything in this nature, we will not fall to the political maneuvering or social, you know, trends or opinions or ideas of man, but we have a good grip of the truth and we base our lives on those truths. You know, if we find men and the women that who truly believe in these things, and they marry with the purity and great respect and understanding of the nature of each of them, and they agree on the role of each of them in their marriage, and they continue with it, and they stay together because of it, we are going to have great people who marry for life, you know, and they will have children who will enjoy being in such a nurturing environment, and they grow also strong and godly, and they will continue the tradition over and over. But if we forget that and we become egoistical, have our own opinions, ideas and arguments, and you know, then of course we have a world that it pulls all, you know, in all directions, and everybody confused. They don't know which way to go, which one is right. Should I, you know, respect other people's idea? Of course, if an idea is propagated, after a while that original sensitivity will not be there. So, propagation is kind of a desensitizing human, and it works. If you, you know, continue saying, say the same thing over and over and over, they will believe, you know, the human after a while will believe it. And we can say Hitler used it, and the whole Germany followed it, you know, or many countries used it, those techniques, and it happened. But human has to meditate and become an individual which are not influenced with this propagation or this idea that it's been imposed on them, but see, what does God say? What does God want in this situation? What is His will? Okay, Christ has always come from man, as Christ is God in flesh, okay? And no other human in all the history has ever been able to make such a claim and back it up, except for Jesus Himself. Okay, so you are a Christian, and is that eventually what you came up to tell us? And all your question was to get to this point that is the only way? Okay, the question from Madhat is where your authority come from and how. My authority come from the same authority that have come to Christ, to Moses, to Muhammad, to Bob, to all the prophets and the messiahs sent by God. They have all been prophesied to come for a long time, and they fulfilled those prophecies, and they brought the word of God to man, and therefore that authority come from God. That's why Christ is called the Anointed One. The Anointed One means the person who have received the Spirit of God, and therefore He can bring the Spirit to man. God is a Spirit. God is not flesh that you can see. It's not something you can touch. It is a Spirit, and the only way you can bring it to humanity is through a body. And that body usually is prophesied to come for hundreds of thousands of years, and when that body comes to earth, of course, He comes with all the signs that has been given for His coming, and then He comes of the Spirit of God come through that person. And that is exactly what's happening here. God prophesied the seven angels will come, He will open the seven seals, He will reveal the books sealed with the seven seals, and He will fulfill the prophecy of all the religion on earth. And of course, in Bible, in chapter 5, in Revelation, it clearly says the only one who can open that seven seals, the book sealed with the seven seals, is the line of the tribe of Judah, which means genealogically also he should be from the tribe of Judah, or King David, or Adam. Also that has been fulfilled. All them are waiting for Messiah or Mehdi or, you know, Christ to come as the from the genealogy of Prophet Muhammad. That also I am. So suit yourself, go and prove yourself that this is truth. If this is truth, then you have no choice to accept me as the only authority on earth for bringing the word of God to humanity. And if that is true, then it is your responsibility to prove it to yourself, or to disprove it to yourself. If you prove this, if that is true, then you are obligated to come and serve God and His last revelation. If you disprove it, of course, probably you made a mistake, and we give you to God. So that is why we say it is the obligation and responsibility of every man and woman on earth to go and prove this or disprove it to themselves. But how can you disprove it? The revelation is based on the word of God. It is opening up the seventh seal. It is revealed the book sealed with the seventh seal. It makes sense. It's based on God's word. You know, and also, of course, there are prophecies and genealogy and all that. The whole thing, when it comes together, if you still have a doubt, then there's something wrong with you for sure. Okay. But still, we leave it to you to prove it to yourself, and when you prove it to yourself, you will sure know where my authority comes from. My authority comes from God, and this is the religion for every man and woman on earth. Do you, my dear, believe that Jesus rose from death on the third day and is now at the right hand of God? Well, He sure did fulfill what He promised He will, and He was crucified in Wednesday, not Friday night, and He rose in Saturday evening, and that 3 days, if he had been crucified on Friday and rose Sunday morning, that's only 2 nights and 1 day. Therefore, he fell. The only sign he gave for the legitimacy, he gave that sign that he will be on earth for 3 days and 3 nights, and he did. Now, was he crucified? Was he dead? Was he absolutely resurrected? But he wasn't dead. The people thought he is dead. He was just was unconscious, and then he, of course, rose 3 days later. Well, it's not important. The most important thing, what did he say? Yes, the 17th commandment. Okay, so the question is, what did he teach? What was his message? What was his words? What did he bring to humanity? Was he crucified? He surely was crucified, for sure. He was put in the cross and nailed on the cross and surely went through the agony that he went through. But really the most important thing is, what did he come for here? What was his message? If we understand his message, which is clearly explained in our teaching, then we understand Christ. We understand his mission. We understand why did he bring to humanity. My dear, I love you with the love of Christ, but your belief is wrong. Divine? Okay, well, alright. We leave you to God. And we love you with the love of God, which is beyond human concept and consciousness and understanding. And we tell you our belief is right. Actually, this is the only right belief on earth. Any other belief is just a part of this revelation and belief. And you have to meditate on this and go and understand on teaching. And do not believe on your dogmas and your religion where you were born and believe that have been formed in your life. Rely not on your understanding, but understanding and the Word of God. And the Word of God is clearly says there will be 7 revelation. The Word of God is clearly revealed that he promised Abram and Abraham both there will be the scepter or a Messiah or prophet from him. God has revealed clearly there will be 7 revelation, 7 seals, and the only time that the truth will come to humanity is when the 7th revelation comes. And therefore we have to tell you, I'm sorry, but you are wrong, Duranium. Well, he's not Christ, I know. He was an apostle chosen by Jesus. Well, he was not just Jesus in the chosen by Jesus. He had a vision. We don't know what that vision was. We don't know who gave him the idea that he is an apostle, because the thing he says is not based on the Word of God. What he says is Paul's idea and the Spirit that chose him. He wasn't even a close disciple. He was not even with Christ when he was alive. Therefore, the conclusion is, what was that Spirit that chose him? So he was not crucified or fighting or okay. Divine Peter was a man, was an apostle, was another, okay. According to the book of Revelation, Matthew, all divine revelation was abrupted in the with the revelation of the Jesus Christ of Saint John, and the verse 22 we say, do not add to the that is right. No man or human can add to the revelation, but Christ can, because he has the authority of God to reveal the true meaning of the scriptures. And therefore, again, you have to understand and recognize what is happening here. And if you recognize that, of course, you will see that I have the authority to add to revelation, and only I have that authority. Any other person who interpreted the revelation, you know, differently than I have, they are wrong, they have added to the word of God, and they will pay for what they have done. But the true meaning of the revelation is the meaning which is given in though. Do you believe you will one day be a world leader or the world leader Maitreya? Well, according to the God's will and revelation, eventually Christ will bring the kingdom of God on earth, and his spirit will come through the leaders who will bring peace and unity and God's spirit and God. So, but of course you probably say, well, that's also said for Antichrist, but that's true. You know, Antichrist is already in control of the earth, and he has already taken the power, and he is running the world. So he is already the king, he is already the one who is running the earth and humanity. Now is time to return earth to God, and his elect. Okay? So if you think the person who will come and will take over the leadership of the world based on God's word is Antichrist, then I have a news for you that Antichrist has already done it. He's already here. He is running the earth. He is the king. That is what humanity is following. So your understanding is absolutely skewed, is absolutely out of date, and you have to update yourself by understanding this new revelation and teaching, and absolutely overcome these dogmas that, you know, it's not the first time we hear the things we are saying. This is the thing people have come here and said many times. I stick to the written word of God, the living word, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. I dwell within me and all Christian. Okay, well, go ahead. Let's stay with it. Let us leave you to God and see who is the truth at the end. I'm telling you, you are wrong. You are following Paul, and the spirit that chose Paul to bring those words are not the spirit of Christ. Actually, you are saved by the name of Christ, and his name never was Jesus. You healed with the name Jesus, which means Jesus, the victory to Zeus. You heal in the name of Zeus, not Christ, not the one whose name is not pronounceable. You don't know even his true name. How can you be saved? Therefore, you have to meditate and realize you have to come down from that wrong understanding. And Paul actually had a problem with Peter, and Peter and Paul fight for a long time, and Christ said he will build his church on Peter, which means a stone. And the whole idea, Jesus was already crucified, he rose, and a stone of course was a altar that Jewish people used to build, any because Abraham was a wanderer. Actually, he didn't have any special place to settle. That's why anywhere they went, they erected a stone, and they worshipped it. And the stone had a base which the altar built over. According to your revelation, each human is divine. Okay, and therefore, that is why Christ called him Peter. Peter is the base of that altar, which was the church of Christ. And then Paul come and take over. He's not based on Peter. Paul fought Peter. Paul, you know, Peter knew that, Peter knew Paul is not saying the truth. The Bible says there are many antichrists, but also coming major. Okay, well, I know you have heard it or not. Yes, we have heard before. And you are absolutely incorrect. In your religion have been absolutely invaded by pagan holidays with absolute wrong understanding, and you are don't even know the name of Christ. His name, if that was true, that you know healed with the name of Christ, why when Peter and his disciples were healing, that magician offered them to give money if they had told him what they used to heal with? The truth is they never were able to utter his name, as most of the preachers these days utter, "I heal in the name of Christ, I mean Jesus," because they never uttered it, because it is not utterable. It is impossible to utter the name of the Lord. And now you call him Jesus, which is never really his name. There is no J in Hebrew. So you can see your religion is based on sand. Absolutely is not based on God. God clearly says it's going to be 3:7 Revelation, and your understanding and your religion is incorrect. Well, I will tell you that if you continue the way you're continuing, you will be in absolute trouble with God and His revelation, because this is the time of sundering. And those who do not understand the word of God, and they think by saying, I hug you, the people will fall for, wrong understanding, then you absolutely not having the grip of the truth. Okay, enough of this. We just leave you to God, and again, it is so unworthy of the people who claim to have the greatest truth to come here in a sheep clothing, and then later on turn and say these things that we have heard many times. And that is not the word of God. This is not. Everybody is washed in the blood of Christ. Christ died for every man and woman and child. You don't have to be Christian. You don't have even to be baptized to receive the grace. Baptized really means the turn around. Anybody who turns around toward God, he is baptized and we receive the grace. And the reason Christ's blood is accepted as giving grace to human is because by his crucifixion he released the grace that was taken away at the time of the Garden of Eden. Therefore he released the grace back to humanity. It is available to every man, woman and child, and you don't have to believe that he was crucified to receive it, but you have to believe that he came to release the grace, and therefore you will receive the grace. Therefore it is absolutely paramount that we can make Christians, Jews, Hindus, Buddhists and Muslims and Baha'is and everybody sees those truths. This reality that is now clearly revealed to humanity, and now is the time for Christians realize that God did give promise that there's going to be a revelation come from the children of Ishmael. That God did reveal that there's going to be seven revelations. No other prophet is the last prophet until the seven angels come. All of them are great prophets. We respect them. We respect Christ. We respect Muhammad. We respect Moses. We respect Abraham and all the other prophets and messengers and anointed ones by God. But none of them has truth until the seventh revelation comes. And now this seven revelation have come, and the truth have been revealed to humanity, and those who believe anything else, they don't have the understanding and the grip of the truth to know what God's plan and revelation has been. And it is sad that the people have to come here and so sneakily try to, you know, throw their dogmas at us when we have heard this before. We know about their dogmas, but they don't know about this wonderful revelation that has come to them. And they resisted it. It is so clear, so wonderfully explained what God's promise will do, and the word of God has come to them, and still they hold into their dogmas. I hope they turn around and become one of their elects, one of the ones that will be incarnated again and again for the next 1,000 years. If they don't believe it, if they do not follow it, if they don't understand this revelation and the truth and the vision, they will not come back. As simple as that. They will be thrown to the darkness, which is even darker than the darkest in this manifested universe. And as Christ said, there is going to be gashing of the teeth and this destructive things for them. But of course, ego is powerful. Ego is doesn't want to see the truth, no matter how much to tell them the truth. Look, there is no J in Hebrew. How can his name be Jesus? And you cannot be saved unless you know his name. You know, if his name doesn't have Jesus, therefore J, you don't know his name. How can you be saved? Or all the things that absolutely incorrect in their belief. Of course, I cannot just blame Christians. It's the same with Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists. You know, we have been dealing with all of them. There is none of them that really don't have dogmas or a misunderstanding of the religion, which some of them is older than 4,000 years. Or even those that have been old only for 200 years or 150 years, they even have dogmas and they don't want to know the truth. And when God clearly says their revelation is not. And therefore, we have to leave them to God and pray for them and just be concerned about what we know and what we understand. We have to tell them the truth and then leave them to God. The question, what dogmas do atheists have? The dogma is that there is no God. They are adamant that there is no God, and they are adamant that whoever believes in God is stupid and have no brain. And the dogma is that, you know, they are right, and the people who are not atheists do not. Nope, atheists are simply without God. Believe it isn't the same thing. I don't accept there isn't a God. Nope, this is simply about God's belief. No, atheist actually means you believe there is no God. You know, unless you are an agnostic, yeah. Well, you say, well, I really don't know. If you accept there is a God, the of evidence, proof, is on you. Yeah, that is true. I accept that challenge, and I direct you toward reading the holiest of the holiest of the revelation, and there are plenty of evidence that there is God, because he says he's going to do things, he has done them. Therefore, go there and read the holiest of the holiest, though the last testament, and you will see God said he will send a prophet from Isaac and a prophet from Ishmael, and he has done it. He said he's going to send 7 revelations, he has done it. And he, well, believe is your prerogative. I proved it to you, but you don't believe it. That is not my problem. Hannibal, I just see words there, no experiments, no evidence. Belief isn't evidence. It is your belief, that's fine. It is, you know, I'm not here to convert you at all. I'm just here to give you a message. I am here to guide you toward, you know, seeing the vision. I'm here for the elect. I'm here for those who can see our teaching and say, yes, it makes sense based on the word of God, and he has promised everything, and therefore I agree with my Torah, what it says makes sense, and God exists. I'm not here to even convert you to believe in God. For what it is worth, I'm interested in Buddhism. Buddha believed in God. He never said there is no God. I know a lot of Buddhists say no, he said there is no God. He just was tired and sick of many gods. In Hinduism, he actually came to purify Hinduism from all the gods they had. And he said, there's somebody, don't worry about gods, okay? Or God. And just work on yourself, know thyself, that know, you know, you are eventually going to reach the not pure consciousness or nirvana, okay? So, yeah, if that helps you not to make, you know, many gods, that's fine. But there is a consciousness that is directing the universe, and that consciousness, of course, you can call it whatever you want. We call it God, or we can call it, you know, Allah, or Jehovah, or whatever you want. What the truth is, that such a thing is there. That's the Lord has said. Yeah, well, God is very large too. So that is why the assertion has to be large in order to be inclusive of all parts of God. And actually you have the essence of that huge God in you, and you are one. And that's actually what Buddha was saying too. You have to reach that ultimate essence. In that ultimate essence, there is no mind, there is no feeling, there is no touch, there is no smell, there is nothing that appears to human sense. What is calling? People keep asking Buddha, explain to us, what is God? What do you mean by all these things? He eventually came and said, well, it's nothingness. Nobody stopped, everybody stopped asking the question anymore, because who want to know what nothingness is? How can you explain nothingness? It's just like God, explain God. No, we can't explain it. Extraordinary claim requires extraordinary evidence. One second, go ahead. Extraordinary evidence is in our website. Extraordinary is in our revelation. Extraordinary claim is the fulfillment of the prophecies. Extraordinary claim is in genealogy. And of course, ultimately, it makes sense. And if it makes sense, it is extraordinary, because nothing else makes sense there. How do you know your perception isn't simply fantasy? Because it's based on the reality, because it's based on the essence. Anything is not essence is temporary. The whole of this universe is not the essence. It is a creation. It's created from that essence. Therefore, it is temporary. And if we believe anything in this external world as the reality and truth, that is fantasy. But the truth of the reality is that essence, which is the reality and the truth. Human beings are poor scientific instruments. Well, we are not talking about science here. We are talking about the spirit. And actually, human being is the most advanced instrument to recognize the spirit and God within themselves by understanding that they and God are one. And therefore, there is a difference, there is a thread, a small thread of separation between spiritual people and scientists. And science never can explain a spirit, because that is beyond mind, beyond explanation. And of course, a mystic can understand science, but can see easily how limited it can be. Human beings are poor and so, okay? I can prove that humans are constantly wrong about reality. Well, that's why they need a revealer, a prophet, to come to God, to them, and guide them toward a greater reality, that they keep missing it. I was just thinking that your perception of reality is correct and mine is incorrect? Well, if any perception is not based on the eternal divine path or the revelation revealed with the prophets and the revealer is incorrect, well, that is what you have to decide yourself. Is your perception is based on the word of God in the revelation of the revealer's essence? If it is, then your perception and mine should be the same. There is no separation then between us. But if yours is different or you think it is different, maybe it's not. Maybe your perception is the same, but we do not yet understand how we can blend them together and understand that you are saying the same thing. Maybe you think that this revelation is like other religions. They are illogical. They are based on dogmas that historically have been affected with a lot of wrong perception and understanding. Then you don't know our teaching. If you understand that our religion is based on logic and it explains the science and everything in the universe, and you can see logically, yes, it makes sense, then you will see that our perception is correct. I have trouble with this God entity. I see it as a leap in logic, a huge leap in... Yeah, because logic is a manifestation in the universe. Logic only can explain the explainable. When the logic reaches a point that it wants to explain something beyond mind, it will stop, cannot go any farther. It's just like science. Science can go to a point. Then reach a point, if they go beyond that, they say, yeah, even there is a unified theory now in the science that everything comes from a unified base, an essence. Now, if they go a little farther, they say that unified essence is God, then they're not scientists anymore. They cannot bring that unified essence in the laboratory and say, here's the unified essence under the microscope. But they have come to that conclusion. It has to come from the same essence and everything is created from. Now, that is how far science can go. If science calls that essence God, it's not science. Of course, many people have, just like Einstein, did this conclusion that there is a logic behind the universe. He didn't call it God, but he came pretty close to say, yeah, there is a logic. He even didn't know when he got the formula in E is equal to MC squared. He didn't know where he came it from. He know it works, but he doesn't know where he got it and how he got it. Well, therefore he believed a higher level of consciousness that revealed it to him and he gave it to humanity, but he could not ever prove it scientifically in the formula how he got it. Or other scientists, in chemistry, they found a circle formula. The reason he found it was in a dream, he saw that a snake is eating his own tail. And he realized it should be a loop. And he got it. So we can see this, there is a logic, there is a revealer, something higher consciousness that have been helping humanity all along to this point. Now, we don't want to call him God, call him whatever you want, higher consciousness, higher level, pure consciousness, whatever you want. But there is one, that even scientists getting close to that point. Scientists have little understanding of anything in the universe, but you understand it fully. Well, that is one of the problems with the logic that doesn't believe that there can be a person that he can understand better than their limited logic, and therefore he makes fun of him. He thinks, if that were possible, because scientists should understand better than you do, but actually scientific don't, and they will not. That's often wrong. Logic is often incorrect. The world is not flat. Is my trio a free cult or is it a money making one? Alright, now you are getting to now you don't have any truth to
reveal here and have a correct discussion, you start to mudslinging and throwing mud. You see, that is when you see a person's logic is out and their anger and emotion comes in. But as we were through the meditation, no, you're not asking questions. You are mudslinging and you are no longer logically discussing things and not conversing. And therefore, you show your true color, which is anger and emotional, and is not from a realized person. And so you can see that there was no rule. You were playing with your rule and answering your question, you know, but it was so logical that you couldn't handle it. And therefore you resorted to this kind of behavior. And therefore you start talking about the thing doesn't make sense. Those people who, if you want to ask those questions, you have to see that, you know, this mission is based on the purity and truth, and it is based on the absolute helping humanity to come together and create the kingdom. So the question should be, can we add on the enemy? No, it's just the change of the tune shows that you lost the argument. You lost the logical argument about science and religion and God, and therefore you change your tone. It's not the question. It's the changing of your tone from a logical discussion to mudslinging, and that is when it shows you lost. Okay, so you can see that we absolutely are open to everybody to come here, ask questions about the logical part of our teaching and our message, and but coming here and getting in the corner, you start, you know, showing different color, then shows you really are not a logical person. You have a problem with the logical explanation. You want to be right. You do not seek the truth. To seek the truth is different to trying to make yourself to be right. Okay, that is ego. If ego is present, you try to be right instead of seeking the truth. If ego is not present, you will seek the truth. That is the two different things. Come here, anybody, logically, discuss about science, about God, about the state of the earth, but don't come here, get emotional when you see we have so much truth presented here to you, and suddenly start babbling and instead of logically discussing things together. Well, it sounds like a pretty good conversation here, but it's interesting. Again, we can see many people here in Paltag, they want to be right, and they come here, they are not the seeker of the truth, but probably there are some they are, and that is what we are looking for, because this revelation is logical. If it wasn't logical, I was the first person who would not have accepted it. I would have said, what, this doesn't make sense, just like any other religion, this is full of dogmas. And it is not. There is no dogma in it. It is a path. It is a way. It's based on God's revelation. It's based on God's word. It's based on what God said he will do. Therefore, God exists. That's one of the things I wanted people to show me. When I was growing up in a Muslim nation, I was asking them, show me God. Prove to me God exists. They could not do it. Now, he proved it to me very clearly. First, in my first meditation, I could see everything is God. Then through this revelation, that he says, God said he's going to do this thing. He's going to send his prophets. He's going to send this revelation. He's going to send these people. He's going to send this seven truth. And now he has done it. Therefore, God exists. Of course, again, through my meditation, I don't exist. God is the only thing exists. And if we reach that point, then there is no logical explanation the way I know God exists. You know, I can tell you, yeah, there is God exists, I don't. And then, logically, you want me to explain to you, it's impossible. It's an experience. You have to experience it. Therefore, God is not an explanation. It's not a logical thing. Also, as I said, scientists are pretty close. But they cannot go one step farther. Therefore, it's logical. It's based on the Word of God. It is an experience that we encourage all of you to have. It is a revelation that has been foretold to come. And it now is your responsibility to prove it yourself and take it to every corner of the world and let them know indeed the Word of God have come to man again and they are called to unity and the kingdom. I leave you all to God. Have a godly week. See you all next week. Shalom.